This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Inside Story. Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we turn to the Scriptures this morning, I'd like to share with you the fact that we have a very special program tonight at Truro Church. Marilyn Laszlo from Wycliffe Bible Translators is going to be with us, and she has spent the last several years in Papua New Guinea working with the Indians there, some of the most primitive folks on the face of the earth. I use that word very cautiously. It's just a shorthand way of expressing it. In some ways, there's great sophistication among some of these tribes that have not had contact with what we call civilization. But she's seen some things in terms of God reaching into some very untouched areas and bringing people to Him Christ that will bless you out of your socks. She's going to be speaking at our prayer and praise service this evening, and if it's at all possible for you to come join us, it's going to be a tremendous, tremendous evening, and we'd love to have you. That's 7:30 tonight at Truro Church, Marilyn Laszlo. She's speaking various places throughout the area, and tonight we have the privilege of having her with us. We'd love to have you join us for that special program. All this week we've been considering the subject freedom under authority, learning what it means to be men and women under authority. You know, it's interesting to me that back in Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus was talking to a soldier, a centurion, the centurion came to him with a request for a healing, and Jesus said, I'll come at once. And the man said, you don't need to come. He said, I understand how authority works, for I'm a man under authority. And if I give an order, my soldiers, the folks under me, jump, and they ask how high on the way up. He said, I understand that you're in authority, and when you speak, things are going to happen. You don't need to come. Just speak the word. And Jesus said, never have I seen in all Israel such faith as this. Disciplined obedience and understanding of how authority works becomes the example of faith as far as the Lord Jesus is concerned. And so the subject is a critically important one. How does authority work? How do we function within it? If we're in authority, how do we exercise it? If we're under authority, how do we respond to it? I said yesterday that I've been somewhat frustrated all week because we're just barely scratching the surface. And perhaps I've touched on some things that you'd like to explore at much greater length. We have a series of teachings on the subject on cassette tape. It's called Freeing Our Relationships, and you might like to get a hold of that series. All our tapes, by the way, cost just $1.50 a piece, and then some of them are packaged in series, and you can get them with a nice cover on the package if you'd like to get that. More information about that at the end of the program. This week's teachings, as is the case every week, are available in cassette form free of charge, and we'd love to have you get that as well. We come today to the last of five sets of relationships. We've looked at, on Monday, at parents and children, on Tuesday at husbands and wives, Wednesday, state and citizen. Yesterday we were talking about employer and employee. And today we want to come just very briefly to the subject of pastor and flock. I'm not really comfortable with putting it that way because I don't mean to restrict it only to those who in a formal way have ecclesiastical authority within church structures. Perhaps I'd do better to say elder and younger. All of us have been blessed with various people coming into our lives who have been shepherds to us, who have been pastors to us, who have taught us and encouraged us and counseled us and prayed for us, and they have been elders, elder brothers and sisters to us, and God has used them to bring us to where we are right now. But as we've moved on in the Christian life, inevitably God gives to us other folks for whom we're to exercise a kind of an eldership. It may be formal or it may not. It may be our own children. It may be kids in a Sunday school class. It may be folks in our neighborhood that we begin to share with, and they begin to respond to the Lord Jesus through our witness. And at least for a time, we have a pastoring, a kind of a pastoring relationship to them. How does that relationship square up with the others? It, too, is an authority relationship. It's a little bit different than the others, but it does bear some similarities to these other relationships that we've been looking at. Basically, I want to say just two or three things today, just scratching the surface. The first is that the pastor, the elder, the shepherd, whatever you want to call him, the one in that leadership position, whether it's formal or informal, just like the one in every other relationship of authority, is called to be a servant, is called to be a servant. He's not to lord it over those that God entrusts to him. You see this very clearly in Peter's first letter, chapter 5. He addresses the fellow elders. He says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Verse 2, tend the flock. Tend the flock that is your charge, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not as domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. The pastor is a servant. He's to tend those that God has entrusted to his authority with tenderness and with care. He's not to browbeat them. Jesus said to the apostles, he said, the great men of this world lord it over other people. Not so with you. You're to serve. You're to love. And so there's a brand of teaching that has come into the church of late that talks in terms of the one in authority within the church being absolutely in control. And the one under his authority is really to do nothing without his say-so. Could I suggest that you re-examine that teaching if you've come into it? There is nothing more obnoxious to the spirit of the New Testament than that I should be absolutely under the control of the shepherd or the elder that God has placed over me. That is completely alien. What is the authority of a pastor? The authority of a shepherd? The authority of an elder? It's nothing more or less than insistence on the truth. Insistence on the truth. As Paul neared the end of his ministry and realized that his time of death was rapidly approaching, he wrote to the younger man, Timothy, who had been a kind of a disciple to him. And Timothy, along with Titus and various others, were to inherit Paul's mantle of leadership. And in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, Paul summed up this way, verse 16, he said, Timothy, take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Hold to that, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Take heed to yourself and to your teaching. What is the authority of the pastor? It's the insistence on truth. The pastor's authority is never to undermine the other authority relationships. When a pastor comes to a wife, let's say, and begins to undermine her responsibilities to her husband, he's leading her right down the trail to destruction. He may do it with every good intention, but the pastor is to insist merely upon truth within that relationship and to reinforce the structure of husband and wife that God has placed her in. If the pastor comes along and speaks to a child and begins to undermine that child's responsibilities to his parents, the pastor is leading him right down the road to destruction. And you can evaluate an awful lot of so-called Christian cults which are doing exactly that, with insisting that the elders, the shepherds, the pastors, whatever they call themselves, take authority over the individual and release that individual from the other structures of authority. It is not so. If those other authorities in our lives are commanding us to do what God has forbidden, then of course we must not obey them. And the insistence on truth will make that very clear. But it's not a matter of substituting spiritual authority for these other structures in our lives. It simply doesn't work that way. So I would just invite you to re-examine all that. If God has called you to exercise a kind of a leadership in somebody else's life, it's not a matter of lording it over the people that God has entrusted to you. It's a matter of serving them, of caring for them, of tending them, of ministering to them, of washing their feet, of feeding them with the Word of God, of insisting on truth, but then leaving them responsible to the Lord Himself. That's the way it works. Anything that works other than that is really a counterfeit, and we need to be on guard against it. I want to close out this series by coming back again to the book of Ephesians and calling your attention to something that you may or may not have noticed before. I've heard a lot of teaching, and undoubtedly you have too, that would say that the priorities in the Christian life are that we put the Lord first, that we put our spouses second, if God has called us into marriage, that we put our children third, that we put our jobs fourth, and that we put our ministry fifth. And I believe that. I subscribe to that, and I want to endorse that. My top priority is the Lord Jesus Himself. If I'm not spending quality time with Him, I've got nothing to give to anybody else. But long before I get to my ministry, my wife, my kids need to be secondary priorities. And then comes my job, and then comes my ministry. I believe that's God's order of things. And I believe that as you begin to understand this whole subject of freedom under authority, that will begin to emerge with a freshness and a clarity that will be very important to getting our lives in order. But what I noticed not too long ago is that in the last two chapters of the book of Ephesians, we have those various priorities addressed in exactly that order. And I'd just like to call that to your attention and invite you to study this and meditate upon it for yourself. What's the first priority? Well, Ephesians 5, verse 15 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." Verse 18, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Verse 20, "Always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father." Our first priority is the Lord Himself. Then Paul turns directly to the subject of husbands and wives, then to the subject of children and their parents, then to the subject of slaves or servants, employees and their employers. And finally, in chapter 6, verse 10, he says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And he talks about carrying out our ministry. As we understand how freedom under authority really operates, and as we begin to get our priorities in order with the Word of God, we're going to discover a new joy in knowing Christ and in walking with Him that we've never known before. And friends, that's the inside story.